Try again. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
We are so glad that you could worship with us this morning. We are going to start off with our one offering this morning, if our ushers could come. And I'll say a little prayer for us. Dear God, thank you so much for this day, and thank you that we get to come here this morning and gather and worship together, God. I pray that as we worship through giving this morning, God, that you would just take what we've given and that you would just use it to further your kingdom and bless your people, Lord. And it's in your name I pray these things. Amen. Just wanted to give one more reminder about our Advent buckets for each of our kids' families. Once you have completed those, once you've watched the video and made your cookies together as a family, you can send me pictures and you can be entered to win a little prize. And I posted a picture of the little prize on Facebook this week. So just wanted to remind you about those. And then I think Sarah is going to come and do announcements for us.
Hello, I guess it's on, okay. Good morning, everyone. I wanna thank you for being here. It's kind of a crazy day already. I guess we're actually getting into winter with the weather, which it is about time. So we're gonna start off with the announcements, as I know that everybody is probably wondering where we're at in our pastor search. Probably as everybody's thinking, we haven't heard anything in a while, so I'm going to share with you that we're actually in the middle of steps 6, 7, and 8. You're probably thinking that sounds kind of crazy, but it is parts of all of them. So the board has been working really hard to get to where we are right now. So please continue to pray for the board. So on December 27th, we will be bringing a candidate here to preach. Prior to the service that morning, you will have the opportunity to meet and greet with the candidate from 9:30 to 10:15 a.m. Following that service on December 27th, we will be calling a special session for the church. We wanted to begin announcing now so that everyone would have enough time to plan to be in attendance on December 27th. We will not be disclosing the name of the candidate until the date of December 27th. This is to respect the candidate's privacy. Thank you for your continued prayers with all of that. So in your bulletin, you probably saw a little handout here. It has for your name, cell phone number, email, address, all that good stuff in here, because we're updating the church records, and you could put this, fill it out, and put it in the offering plate, or you can also give it to me as well. That would be very helpful. And tonight is home groups. If you're not part of that, this would be a great time to get started. We do have 4 different groups. We have Mark and Desiree Young. We have Buck and Nancy Rogers, Eric and Sean Yarnell, and Jason and Sunny Roast. So the city has now passed an ordinance requiring face coverings in public places. This will be in effect through March 2021. Social distancing guidelines of 6 feet should also be continued to be observed. There are masks available at the tables throughout the building. I will tell you that if you are sitting with your family, you're not required to wear one. I did talk actually with the mayor myself last night. So if you're with your family, you don't have to have it. And if somebody's speaking up here, you don't have to have one of those either. So I just wanted to let you guys know that. But we do want everybody to feel safe. The youth Christmas party will be on December the 18th at 6 o'clock in the church fellowship hall. All teens and their parents are invited to attend for food, fun, and fellowship. And parents and teens will compete in an epic Christmas battle of reindeer games. Sounds exciting. Please RSVP to Pastor Luke. And we still do have some Advent books available if you have not picked one of those up. And we are trying to get the We Church back up and running. So if you would like to take a turn in that, please contact Julie Arrington. She would be the contact for that to be able to get involved. On Tuesdays at 6:45 at Grillo's, the men's prayer breakfast. You can see John Halstead or Marty Rader for information on that. We also do have the availability for Right Now Media that has good information on there for movies and TV shows and things like that. Kids will continue to meet in here on Sundays all during the month of December. And the kids' discipleship groups will not meet again until January 5th. So thank you so very much. And if everybody will please stand as we move into our next stage for Advent.
That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angels reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David."
We light these candles as a sign of the coming of light of Christ. Advent means coming. We are preparing for the full coming of Christ.
We are ready for Christ to come and make all things new.
The third candle is a symbol of joy, and the angel said unto them, "Fear not.
For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David
a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
When the Lord brought back to the captives to Zion, we were like people who dreamed.
Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy.
Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them."
The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy.
Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy.
Those who go out weeping will return with songs of joy, for the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Appearing, oh come let us adore.
morning, as we go into a time of prayer, we want to remember those that are on our prayer request list and just keep them in your prayer this week. Cindy Wheeler texted me this week, and she tested positive for COVID, so she asked that you all would be praying for her family, so we want to remember them especially this morning. If you would like to be anointed this morning, I'll be down here, and you can come be anointed.
Oh, it's your breath.
we're just so grateful that we can just be here in your house this morning, Lord, and that we have the freedom to worship you this morning, God. And this morning, I want to lift up the Wheeler family to you, God, and I pray that you would just be with them this week, God, that you would bring healing to Cindy's body, God, and that you would just protect the rest of the family from giving COVID, God. And I pray that they would just see you at work in their lives this week, God. And I also just want to lift up Morgan Green to you, God, and I just pray that you would just bring healing to her body, God, a healing that only you can bring, and that you would just be with the doctors and be with her family and be with her, God, and that they would just all have an overwhelming sense of your presence there with them this morning, God. And I just want to lift up each of them that are on our prayer request list this morning, God, and I pray that you would just bring healing where healing is needed and comfort where that's needed, Lord. And I thank you that you know each of our needs here this morning, God, and that you are with us through it all. And I pray that you would just be with Pastor Jim this morning, and that you would just anoint him, and that his words would be directly from you, Lord, and that you would just speak to each one of us this morning through him, God. And we give you praise for all these things, Lord. It's in your name I pray. Amen. If our ushers could come forward, we'll take up our offerings.
Lord, it is good to be back in your house this morning, Lord, and worshiping with your people, Lord, as we worship you by giving back a small portion of what you've blessed us with, Lord. We just ask that you would use these tithes and offerings, Lord, to further your kingdom. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The tree, stockings 1, 2, 3, they all know one is missing. It's been a whole year without him right here. Won't be the same kind of Christmas. Some years it's wonder, lights in the sky. Some years it's okay to cry. Out of work, and the bills just keep coming. Trying to stay strong, he wonders how long he'll come home empty-handed. In every prayer that you lift to the sky, in every tear that
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Good morning, church. It's good to be with you again to share together. I appreciate those of you who prayed for me and my wife, Shirley. We did the COVID thing, and one of the great blessing was that we were not sick. We didn't run fever. It was just a cough. That's all that we came up with, and so we are so grateful for that. We have known a couple of people who didn't survive it, and so we consider ourselves to be very, very blessed. It's a wonderful time of the year, amen. You have this beautiful poinsettias here on this platform. For 2 years, I lived in Victoria, Texas. That's 300 miles south of Dallas. And down the street about a block was a house on the north side of the street. And it had brush clear across the front of the house, about 8 or 10 feet tall. I thought, why ever in the world would you want to have brush across the front of your house like that? If that were my house, that brush would come out of there in a hurry. But to my extreme surprise, shortly after Thanksgiving, that brush began to bloom. Red. Poinsettias. I had no idea they got that tall. It was just a solid, beautiful sea of red across the front of that house. Well, no wonder that guy has that brushy-looking stuff there. Anyway, thank the Lord for Christmas. Are you ready for a funny thing that happened on the way to the pulpit? Anybody? I went to the grocery store, got a cart, headed back looking for the items that I went for. I got back toward the back of the second aisle and came around the end of the aisle and almost ran into a cart coming to meet me. It was a woman, two women, and a little boy. The little boy was in the cart. And the little boy looked at me and pointed at me and said, "Look at that man, Mama. He left part of his hair at home." The story really is that I left most of it at home, not part of it. But since this is near Christmas, let me tell you another one. My wife and I got invited to a birthday party of a boy who was turning 14. He was being raised, he and his little brother who was in kindergarten were being raised by a single mom. So we went on that Saturday a week from then was Palm Sunday, so we were a week before Easter. And we got there, and it was Mama and those two boys and Grandpa and Grandma, Mama's dad and Mom. And so I thought, well, this may be a pretty small birthday party. In a few minutes, a couple of the birthday boys' friends showed up. And they brought birthday boy a present. There is a big flea market pretty close to downtown Joplin. And they had stopped by the flea market on the way, and some of you remember how they used to buy chickens, baby chickens that had been dyed, colored up. And they bought him a pink baby chicken for a birthday present. And he was delighted with that present. He didn't have a pet. Now he has a pet baby chicken. And the story got interesting after that. I saw Grandpa's best friend in a couple of days into the next week, and he told me about that baby chicken. And so the next time I was with that family, the birthday boy's family, I asked them some questions, and they filled me in on some more of the details. The younger son was in kindergarten, and kindergarten at that time was just a half a day, and he went of a morning. And so it was, I believe, on Tuesday after the birthday party the previous Saturday. Grandma and Grandpa were back over with their daughter and their youngest grandson. And the youngest grandson, it's a beautiful sunshine today, that the youngest grandson, the kindergarten boy, was outside playing in the yard. And in a little bit, he decided he better come in the house and visit with Grandma and Grandpa. And like a lot of kids, he came running to the front door, jerked it open, and ran in and hardly missed a step. And Grandma and Grandpa and Mama were in the kitchen. He went in the kitchen, grabbed his mama, and said, "Mama, you got to do something quick. We got to move. You got to hide me or do something. If you don't, when my brother gets home, he's going to kill me." She said, "What is the matter with you?" She said, "I just killed my brother's chicken." And Mama said, "You did what?" He said, "I just killed my brother's chicken." It was kind of a different situation in that home. That baby chicken had the run of the house. No cage, no pen, no, just the run of the house. Now, they did have linoleum on the floor, and some of you young people have no idea what that is, but that made it easier to, when he did his business, to clean it up. But the kindergarten boy came rushing in the house and jerked the screen door open and didn't see the chicken, and he stepped on him, squished him. Now he's distraught. He knows he is dead meat when his big brother gets home. And his mama said, "Where is the chicken?" He said, "In the living room." So they go rushing into the living room, and Mama picks that chicken up and immediately begins mouth-to-beak resuscitation. She blows once, and her mama said, "Don't blow so hard next time, sis. You almost exploded him." About that time, the kindergarten boy grabbed Grandpa and he said, "Grandpa, let's pray." Grandpa said, "Don't be ridiculous. We're not praying for a chicken." Grandma said, "Oh, yes, we are. We're not going to trample on his faith." So she took kindergarten boy by the hand and headed to the sofa, and Grandpa walks along. They knelt by the sofa, Grandma, kindergarten boy, and Grandpa. The little kindergarten boy did what a lot of little kids did. He folded his little hands. Grandpa looked to Grandma and said, "Who's going to pray?" And Grandma said, "You are." So Grandpa bowed his head. He said, "Dear Lord, we're in trouble. Would you help us?" And the kindergarten boy said, "Yes, Lord. Would you please touch that baby chicken?" And the kindergarten boy said, "Please, Lord, please." All this time, Mama's over there doing mouth-to-beak resuscitation. The chicken survived. The chicken lived. It always walked kind of funny, but it lived. Oh, mercy. Interesting things happen in our lives. Interesting things. Let's get serious. And let's do that by praying. Father, thank you for the privilege to share your living word this morning. Thank you that it's not just another book, but it's a living book. A wonderful book, a book that has amazing and wonderful things in it for us to live by. And thank you, Lord, for the privilege to share this morning the truth of your living word. In Christ's wonderful name, we pray and thank you. Amen. Advent. Today is the day that we celebrate joy as part of the Christmas story. How many of you like to hang out with people who whine and moan and bellyache all the time? Not many hands went up. I didn't see any. In the last church I pastored, two widows started attending. They were in their 80s, and they both lived north of the church building. So when I would go to see them, I would go see both of them the same time, same day. The first time I went visiting, I went to visit Eunice first. Eunice was a lady that was a delight to be around. She was having a great time serving Jesus. And when you left, you always left blessed and upbeat and encouraged and glad you went. So I left there and went to the second lady's house, whose name I will not use. The second lady was just the opposite, whining and complaining. When I left there, I was almost depressed. But I figured out something. The next time I went to see those two ladies, I would go see the whining, complaining lady first. And then I would go to see Eunice. Come away blessed every time. Eunice was a joy giver, very generous with joy. We have a whole bunch of the Gaither videos at our house. And we started loaning those to Eunice, which she delighted in very, very much. She said, I put one of those on and just about have camp meeting in my house when I play those things. But the other lady would just suck the joy right out of me. We are either joy givers or joy suckers, one or the other. And as I talk about joy today, I want to use Luke chapter 2. As he shares with us, if you would like to turn there, I want to read a lengthy passage from Luke chapter 2, from the New King James Version. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee into the city of Nazareth, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. Let me digress just for a little bit. I read to you that Mary was his betrothed wife. That's what it says. Some translations say engaged, which is a terrible translation. The betrothal ceremony was the actual Jewish wedding ceremony. It took place at the bride's parents' house. That's where they gathered, had the marriage ceremony that they called betrothal ceremony. And then the groom left. He had 1 year to prepare a place for him and his new bride to live. They were legally and technically married. That's the reason why in Matthew's rendition, it says that he did not want to divorce her. In order to break betrothal, there had to be a divorce. He had a year to prepare the place for him and his new bride to live. If he didn't finish it up and have it ready in a year, then the betrothal was automatically canceled. And in John chapter 14, Jesus says something that we hear at funerals a lot. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. That's right out of the Jewish betrothal ceremony. So Joseph and Mary were legally married. We need to make sure we understand that. So it was while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and a babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told him by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. It's kind of interesting that the first announcement of Jesus' birth was to shepherds. It was not to the Jewish church hierarchy. That's probably the way we would do it, but it was to shepherds. Shepherds were not part of the upper class of their day. They were the lower class of people. In Genesis 46 and 34, we won't read that to you. Jacob and his 11 of his sons and their families had just arrived in Egypt, where Joseph was. And we are told in Genesis 46 and 34 that they were to tell Pharaoh that they were shepherds, because shepherds were an abomination to the Egyptians. So it wasn't just in the Hebrew culture that they were low-class people. It was also in the Egyptian culture. We don't have to be highfalutin people in order for us to be lavished good things on by the Lord Jesus. And even though we may not have, probably wouldn't have selected the shepherds to make the announcement to, nevertheless, that's whom he selected. When you think about people who have lots of talent and all that kind of stuff, the interesting thing is that the Lord doesn't look for a lot of things that we look for when we're selecting someone, even for a pastor. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26, listen to this. For you see your calling, brethren, and not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. If I had been looking for someone to be a preacher of the gospel, would I have selected me? Not in a million years. First of all, from 7th grade through 12th, I did not drink from the fountain of education, I just gargled. And it was not the teacher's fault, it was my fault. That made college very, very much more difficult. In early 2006, I went to see my ear, nose, and throat doctor in Joplin. They had a new pastor. He hadn't been there but just a very short time. I said to my ear, nose, and throat doctor, how's your new pastor doing? Well, he said, you know, he's really pretty young to be a pastor of our church. I said to him, Doc, you and your church board and the church family can make him into a really good pastor if you'll work with him and pray for him and do everything you can do to make him into a really good pastor. That was early 2006, and that guy's still there as their pastor. I really believe that y'all did the same thing with Brian Letzinger. do it again. I'm not saying get a young guy. That's not my point. But whomever you get, make him into the pastor that you can be blessed to talk about and share about. Jesus isn't looking for nobility in his followers. He's looking for faith and obedience. That's what he wants. When the angel rather appeared to those shepherds, they were so afraid it made their liver quiver. They just were really, really frightened. And the angel said to them in Luke 2:10, "Fear not." In the King James Version, there's 365 of those "fear nots" in the King James Version of the Bible, one for every day of the year. Wow. And in the angel's announcement, as we read, is an announcement of great joy. That's in verse 10. It was great joy because it was heaven's joy. Heaven was celebrating because of what was happening. The Savior had been born, who was Christ the Lord. And so the great Creator was now linked with us creatures. That's amazing and wonderfully amazing. Thank you, Lord. And the Savior was born not to come and bring punishment to us sinners, but to bring grace, to bring salvation, to bring mercy, and to bring forgiveness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. And this angel's announcement was about great joy because this newborn child was Christ the Lord. And Christ means anointed one. In the Old Testament, prophets, priests, and kings were anointed with oil. That was just part of the ceremony. In this, they were generous with that oil. If you want to check with me in Psalm 133, the first couple of verses. "Beloved, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments." They were generous with that anointing. Of course, I'll refer to this in a little bit. Oil is one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, thank you. Jesus showed up at his home church in Nazareth, Galilee. And as the custom was, when they had someone there that was known to be a rabbi or prophet or something, they would invite them to read a scripture and maybe even to speak. And that's what they did to Jesus. And it's recorded in Luke. If you'd like to follow along in the fourth chapter, verses 16 through 19. Jesus found a place, and this is pretty fascinating to me because I don't know if you've ever seen a scroll or not, but it's not like the Bible that we have. Verses 16 through 19 in Luke 4. "So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.'" Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. These verses overflow with joy to those who are spiritually hungry. Thank you. After all, great joy comes to our hearts when we repent and become new creatures in Christ. And in Luke 2 and 13 and 14, we're reminded of the celebration that was going on by the angelic people, angelic creatures. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" And we are told, Jesus told us, that heaven celebrates when one sinner repents. Heaven has a party. It's all right for us to have a party. And in our Sunday school class this morning, it was mentioned the prodigal son, and the father wanted a celebration for the fact that his youngest son had come back home. Thank you, Lord. Now, in Luke's rendition, there's no mention that the shepherds were asked or told to go to the find this newborn baby and visit that newborn baby, but they went anyway. In verses 15 and 16, we see the reaction of Luke chapter 2. And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste, in a hurry, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. So, wow. They were so excited that they hurried to get there. Then their joy kicked in. Excitement included some joy, and that's in verses 17 and 18. Let's read that also again. "Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds." Wow. I would to God that you and I were as excited about sharing Jesus as these shepherds were. That we spent a lot of time talking about Jesus. Our culture, our town, our schoolmates and whoever, our co-workers need to hear about what Jesus has done in our lives. Help us, Lord, help us. I'm still talking about joy, the joy of serving Jesus. Someone may be saying, "You don't know what I'm going through." No, I don't. But Jesus knows. And he cares. Fellow I went to school with got COVID from his grandson. And my former schoolmate, it took his life from the COVID that he got from his grandson. Now, I don't know what that's doing to that grandson, but I suspect that it's hurting. It's hurting big time. Oh, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Amen. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Listen to what it says. I'm still talking about joy. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. "Rejoice always." Someone was saying, "But there are times when that's not easy to do." Yeah, you're right. You're right. There are times when it's hard to rejoice when we're shedding buckets of tears. But the scripture says, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing." And then it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Now, did you listen carefully? It says, "In everything," not "for everything," but "in everything give thanks." And there's a big difference. A big difference. Yeah, it's all right to weep and be brokenhearted over difficult situations that come into our lives. You see, joy is about a relationship that we have. It's this dimension, heavenward. I'll talk more about that in a moment. You all do remember that the second quality of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is joy, don't you? So that's about a relationship that we need with the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit that we need to be baptized with after we get saved. That Jesus spent a lot of time talking about the last several hours of his life. When we've been baptized with the Holy Spirit and the rebellion against God's good, acceptable, and perfect will has been removed from our hearts, then joy becomes a normal part of our lives. Thank you, Lord. Let me remind you, happiness and joy are not the same thing. Happiness is depending on our circumstances. I like to fish for crappie. And when I catch several crappie that are big enough to keep, that's happiness. But if I don't catch anything, I still enjoy the day, the time at the lake. I don't let it turn me into a complainer and a whiner. Joy needs to be a permanent part of our lives, because when things are not going good, we need to still be able to praise the Lord. Let me tell you about Diane Holder. None of you know Diane Holder. I have a copy of an email that I received from our oldest daughter, Deanna, in June 2009. It originally was from Troy Snyder, who was the children's pastor at College Church of the Nazarene in Olathe, Kansas, and Deanna was his office secretary. And here's what that email said. Diane Holder, who taught for the elementary department 9 years and then moved to create and become the coordinator of elementary Sunday school before she had to resign because of her illness, received word yesterday that the cancer has spread to the point that she has only from 1 to 6 weeks to live. If we get that kind of a message from our doctor, we're going to react. That's not necessarily an easy time to be joyful, but listen to Diane. Only 1 to 6 weeks to live on this earth. Now listen to Troy. Please, please, please make time to spend with her. While this is devastating news to each of us, she is, well, excited. My wife was talking just a few days ago on the phone to one of our friends, and she said, you know, we anticipate going to heaven, and we think about how great that is, and then do everything we can to keep from going. That doesn't mean we need to be stupid and not take care of ourselves. That's not what I'm saying. Troy says, I visited with her this morning, and it was like visiting with an angel. Save your sympathy, because she will have nothing to do with it. She is going to see her King. She said, Troy, I have discovered that as a Christian, I have lived most of my life distracted. I'd like to tell you that this is all Diane ever went through. I knew Diane. Her husband grew up in Springfield, just down the road. Her husband became a Nazarene pastor on this district, the Joplin district, and got involved in adultery with a woman in the church of his first pastorate, lost his credentials, and their marriage went down the drain. Diane knew about heartbreak and heartache, but here she's excited. Since I've had cancer, she said, all distractions are gone. Wow. Now it's just me and Jesus. He talks to me daily, sometimes hour by hour. This cancer is a gift. Can you believe that? And I'm so grateful for it. Amazing. 2 weeks later, Diane went to be with her Jesus. Wow. Do you have that kind of joy? Just wondering. If you do, praise the Lord. If you don't, it's time to make your way to this prayer altar and spend some time talking to the one who is the source of joy. And letting him make you a miracle of joy. Please help us, Lord. Please help us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the shepherds that we read about in this story. Thank you for Diane Holder. What a privilege it is, Lord, to be taught by people like her. Taught how to be people of joy even when life hands us a very difficult situation. Diane went through pain and suffering. She went through it first with a broken heart over the destruction of her marriage, first marriage. Then when cancer came into her life, Lord, she decided to be a miracle of your grace through that situation. And what a blessing it is to know her story. Oh God, help us to be people of great joy. And to be people of great joy everywhere we are, in our home, in our classroom, in our workplace, in the shopping places that we go to, or wherever we are. When someone cuts us off in the traffic, help us, Lord, to be people of patience and joy. Because that's the kind of people you want us to be. So thank you this morning, Lord. Thank you so kindly. Thank you that you can turn us into that kind of a miracle of your grace. Bless your wonderful name, Lord, for your amazing, amazing, life-transforming power. In Jesus' name, I brought this to you and thank you. Stand with me, please. You need to spend some time talking with Jesus. This is a good time of the year to do that. Get everything sorted out like it's supposed to be between you and Jesus. We're going to sing Shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord. Not whimper, but shouts. Amen. Amen. Lead us.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower, Shout to the Lord, all the confess to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. God is so good. So good. We have reason to be a celebrating people. And church, we live in the quietest world we'll ever live in. If we end up in God's heaven, there's going to be praising and singing and celebrating and shouting. If we end up in the place called hell, it's going to be a very noisy place. Wow. I have chosen the place where there's going to be singing and praising and celebrating our wonderful Savior, whose birth we're celebrating this time of the year. Amen. Amen. Father, you're so good to us, and we don't deserve any of it whatsoever. Help us, Lord, as we leave this place to go and be the people for you that you want us to be, to bring great, great praise and honor to your name and whatever's going on in our lives, we pray. Keep protecting us, Lord, as we travel back to our homes. We pray, Lord Jesus, and help us to be a people that let you use us any way you want to use us, for so long as you give us breath. In Christ's wonderful name we pray, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a joyous, wonderful Christmas season. Amen.